In the name of God who creates us, redeems us, and sustains us. Amen. In 1993, there was a film called My Life. It's a film about a couple who together learn that the wife, played by Nicole Kidman, is pregnant with her first child, and then learn that the husband, played by Michael Keaton, at the same time, has been diagnosed with terminal cancer. This is a tearjerker beyond belief. And Keaton's character ends up videotaping scenes of himself trying to tell his unborn child about his life and what it meant to him. In one scene of the film, Keaton's character decides to face his lifelong fear of roller coasters by going to an amusement park and taking a ride. He sits in the front of the car of the train, in the front seat next to a 12-year-old boy. As his knuckles turn white from gripping the safety bar before the car even starts to move, the boy turns to him and says, "First time, huh?" The car jerks its way out of the station and up an incline towards that first drop. As the car reaches the peak, the boy says, "It's more fun if you let go." And the car careens down, and the boy joyously reaches up, and Michael Keaton holds all the tighter. At the end of the ride, the boy jumps out, turns to his seatmate, and says, "You can let go now." I think of that scene as we listen to the story of Abraham and the covenant God enters into with him. I think of it because of Abraham's origin, where he came from, what it is that brought him to where he was. We don't know that much about him except what the biblical stories tell us, but he was probably one of many wanderers, many semi-nomadic folk who for about 4,000 years ago left Mesopotamia and headed west to the Mediterranean Sea. By most accounts, he was already old, advanced in years when he left home. His initial call is clear. "Bring yourself out of your birthplace," God says to Abram, "out of your father's house, out of your homeland, to a land I will bring you to see." Consider that calling. Perhaps you'll see why I was thinking of the movie. It must have felt like a Bronze Age equivalent of a roller coaster ride. Abraham is called to come out of his origins, to make a radical break with his past, a break that is threefold: a break from the place of his birth, a break from the house of his father, and a break from his country or his homeland. Abraham is called by this new God, this God who is not the God of his fathers, this God who is not a part of the Mesopotamian pantheon of gods, called by this new God to throw away just about everything that defines him, to throw away his birthplace, his father, and his homeland. All of this on the basis of a promise of a goal unseen. "A land that I will bring you to see," he says. Not only is this a radical action on Abraham's part, but it's also the first time in Scripture that we see such a call being made. Nowhere before has anyone asked to come out. No one before has been asked to go beyond him or herself. Not Adam, not Noah, no one else before Abraham. Abraham follows the words of Yahweh before he can even comprehend the purpose of the call. In some sense, Abraham is never told the purpose. He's promised something in return for his loyalty, but the promise of this calling, the purpose of the loyalty, is never really revealed to him. He simply hears the call to get up and go. And he gets up and leaves. Leaves what was probably the most highly developed civilization of his day as well. Rejects its ways, rejects its cultures in favor of a life that is much harder than anything he could have imagined. I think such an action would suggest something that goes beyond obedience. This type of action, this type of letting go, can only perhaps be described as an action of one who's been captured by something beyond himself. In a way, it's sort of like the actions of one who has fallen madly head over heels in love, fallen long and fallen hard, fallen without hope of ever finding the way back to the life lived before. Grasped by a presence that is beyond one's wildest imaginings. What else could lead a person to let go as Abraham let go? Certainly not some crazy, unforeseeable, unseen promise of a far-off land, and I would dare say not even the promise of descendants as multiple as the stars of the sky. But Abraham manages it. He does indeed manage to let go, and does indeed manage to come out of the life he has lived, manages to begin life again, living it in a way that he could not have foreseen. And having let go, having made a radical departure from his past, Abraham becomes for us the exemplar of our faith. And the faith I'm talking about here is not so much belief or doctrine or dogma or obedience. The faith I'm talking about here is nothing less than love. Abraham becomes the father of the love of God. The father of all those who have come after him, loving God with such a passion and such a zeal that they would follow the object of their love, even when it means giving up absolutely everything they ever had and everything they had ever known and everything they had ever done. That's the sort of faith that Lent invites us into. Not a faith that's defined by belief, not a faith interpreted as obedience, but a faith that is expressed as love, as a complete and total trust, a complete and total offering of ourselves to the other, without thought of the cost that might come as a result of that offering. Of course, the problem is, I suspect most of us find ourselves more feeling like Michael Keaton in that movie that I mentioned. We want to let go. We want to have faith. We want to love wholeheartedly, without reserve. But such a love does not come easily. Such a love is frightening, nerve-wracking, dangerous. And we hold on with all our might, white-knuckled, eyes closed, lest we somehow be thrown from the safety and security of our everyday lives, good, normal, decent lives that they are. We hold on even as we hear God whispering into our ear, "It's more fun if you let go." The good news is that even if we don't believe it, we can let go. And we can let go, and you know what? We will let go. God's patience with us is beyond anything we've ever known. Just think of all the arguments that Abraham and God had with each other in the years to come. Sure, he got up and sure he went when the call came, but then he and God spent the next 30 years arguing with each other. Time and time again, Abraham asks for something more tangible than a promise, and time again, he asks for something more than the fleeting sense of love, than the vague sense, the inconsistent sense of something to come. And each time God replies with simple words of assurance, I give you this land. I give you these descendants. It's going to happen. Just you wait, Abraham. And according to the story, Abraham died without much more than that. He, of course, had the eyes of Isaac and Ishmael to look into, his sons. But if the promise was that his children would be as many as the sands of the sea, those two boys must have looked like two specks of dust sitting on top of a mirror. Hard to imagine that they would ever be lost in the midst of a sea of sand. And in the end, God had his way with Abraham. And in the end, God will have his way with us. At the end of the movie, after the birth of their child, Michael Keaton is dying in a hospital bed in his living room. He has managed to hold on to life just long enough to look into the eyes of his child and to see a vision of the future that he'll never fully comprehend or experience. And as he moves into the embrace of death, the screen flashes white and blinding white. Again, we see him seated at the roller coaster at the peak of the climb, but this time, he joyously lets go and throws his arms up into the air. In this season of Lent, may we learn something of that letting go. May we glimpse with Abraham's eyes and Abraham's love the joy and freedom that God has in store for each and every one of us. Amen.